Greetings, we are the Boss Prophets and the Generals, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly supernatural word of empowerment.
We decree by the power of God that what you are about to hear will begin to shift you into
your new season.
Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
I am who I am.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm giving you how to make your prayers more powerful. I'm telling you how to really become resourceful. Because if you know about me, and if you know about KCI, but definitely about me, then you would understand that I preach and I teach about resources, strategies, how to be more impactful. Because I don't know about you, but as far as my time, it is valuable. So if I'm going to spend time in worship and in warfare, I don't want to just be a hamster on a wheel. I want to know that whatever I'm saying is strategic and that it is going to penetrate the very kingdom of darkness. Whatever he's trying to trap, whatever he's building as a layer of brick to try and stop my prayers from penetrating the throne room, I want to make sure that I'm saying the right thing that is most impactful and effective.
Amen.
Strategy that takes resources, and that is what I'm laying before you right now. Learn Elohim, because let me tell you something. Whatever you acknowledge, it becomes real in your life. Whatever you acknowledge, it becomes even more present and evident in your life. If you acknowledge God as being Elohim, the creator of heavens and earth and all that is in it, then it will be easier for your faith to extend to know that he will give you a new kidney. He will build a new heart.
Amen.
He will give you a new limb. He will create new revenue of streams of income into your life. But if you never knew that he could be the creator of something new, if you never understood that he is the creator and acknowledged him in that specific way, then your faith becomes kind of dull to that.
Amen.
And the
dull
your faith is, the harder it is for that manifestation. Because you've been calling on God. God, I need you. I need you. But he's saying, how do you need me? Oh, did I tap into something? A lot of us were very familiar with crying out to God. You may even have loved ones to do that or know people to do that. God, I just need you, God. I need you, God. But God is saying, I hear your prayer, but you need to tell me how I need to manifest.
Ooh,
we don't have the words or the language to communicate to God how we want them to manifest because we are not learned in our word and we don't study. This is why when I call out to God, you wonder how. You wonder how when people pray or come to us for prayer, we're able just to decree and declare it and speak it and manifest. The people are healed of AIDS, HIV, diabetes, cancer, eyes are being opened. I'm telling you, it's because we recognize that God can be the creator. We recognize that there's a storeroom in heaven full of new limbs, full of new eye sockets and toes and feet and all of what we need, internal organs. So when we have tapped into it with our faith, it's easy for it to manifest here on earth. Elohim. So what? That's one of the three. What's the second one? Adonai.
Man.
Some people pronounce it differently. Today I'm pronouncing it as Adonai. A-D-O-N-A-I is another one of the basic names of God in the Old Testament. In Hebrew, the name is translated Lord and simply means master. Adonai, master. This is when you enter into a worship with God. This is when you actually tell God in this one expression of a word how you are coming submissive to him. You're not coming to go eye to eye. You're not coming to be confrontational. You are recognizing that he is the one that is over you. You are recognizing and telling God that whatever you want me to do, your wish is my command because you are my master. You are the one whom I serve. Everything I have is to bring pleasure and bring adoration unto you. It's a place of atonement, adornment, Adonai. We need to recognize and humble ourselves. The Bible even lets us know, my people would humble themselves and call unto me, I would hear them and heal their land. Some of us come to God with so much pride. We come to God even though we know we need him, But we still come with a chip on our shoulder like, huh, God, I need you. But, you know, you need to come like this, this, and this, and I need you. It wouldn't have never happened if you would have let it. You come with such an arrogancy. No. And God is like, that's not a way to approach
that's
the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes,
so you come out of line. Lord, I humbly submit to you, and I recognize you are my master. I need you. Mm. I need you to take control. I'm bringing my issues to you. I'm bringing my troubles to you. Adonai, help me, Master. Some of us, we need to learn how to humble ourselves. Somebody say, humble me, Lord.
Humble me, Lord.
God wants us to humble ourselves. Then we have Yahweh. That's the third basic name of God, Yahweh or Jehovah. Now, this is the most sacred and precious name of God used among his people, often in association with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's usually signified in the Old Testament with the word Lord written in all capital letters. Some of you all have Bibles and you never knew. You just kept reading. But you notice how Lord sometimes has, you know, a capital L and the rest of the letters are lowercase. Or you may have the word Lord in your Bible and it's all caps. That's what that means. It signifies Yahweh is speaking.
Yahweh.
It signifies that they're talking about Yahweh. It is sacred and it is a precious name. One of the Ten Commandments is talks about how you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Exodus 20 and 7. Some of us grew up like that. When you be maybe hot-headed or in an argument, and you may be in the presence of your grandma or your mom, and you just get so heated, you're like, God, ugh. And then you get a pop on your forehead, or you get rebuked because of, don't you tell the name, don't you use the name in vain. I got that. When I was growing up, we couldn't use the name in vain. We couldn't just say, oh, God, you know, stomping our feet off. We couldn't say all of that. And then, of course, in profanity, you have God D. A lot of people say that. Now, we all know that that is the biggest no-no.
Amen.
Profanity. It's serious with God. He does not want us to take his name and connect it to profanity because it's sacred. And as Christians, we must be careful not to get swept up in the casualness or profanity with which many use the Lord's name. And this also includes the name Jesus. A lot of us, I see these movies and these different things out here, and I just be like, oh, my gosh, how can they even do that? They'll be cursing, and they just say, Jesus effing Christ. And I'm like, whoa. Are you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
But this is how casual we've gotten with the names of God. This is the Son of God. He died on the cross. These are holy names, Jesus, Yahweh, God, and they are not to be taken lightly. For you all who are grandparents on this line, for you all who are parents on this line, you might be an auntie mom like I am. You might be a mom, a stepmom like I am. You might be a lot of things. So it is now up to you to actually instill these wonderful principles and morals in these younger generations who don't know any better. When you're out and about and you see someone that you love or care for and you have the authority to be able to discipline and they start using the name of God in vain, it is now up to you. You are held responsible to say, hold on, we don't use the name of God in vain. If you don't know, you're going to know. I'm going to put the fear of God in you right now. Calm it down. And you can tell them and teach them a very simple way to now have adoration. You wonder why we don't fear God? It's because we're so casual with his name. We laugh when people say Jesus, F in Christ. We think it's cute. And then you wonder why people don't fear God. They don't even fear the mentioning of his name.
My God.
What God is talking about today. He's saying, do you know who I am? Do you know the sacredness that I hold? Do you understand the severity of my name and how many times I can manifest whatever it is that you need? This is what God is saying on today, and he wants us to have a huge understanding so that we don't walk in darkness. We can come out into the light. This is what God is saying. Hallelujah. So Jesus is also the great I am. We're talking about God the Father, but also they are three in one. We believe in the Trinity. Three in one. Jesus is also
the
great I am. Well, you're saying, how so? I don't understand that. Well, let me bring it to your attention. You can find this in John 8:58. John 8:58. Now we're in the New Testament. I brought up something in the Old Testament. Now I'm giving you something in the New Testament. The Old Testament is wonderful. We cannot do away with the Old Testament. We learn a lot of our foundation, our knowledge, our doctrine can come from a lot of understanding and breaking down of what happened in the Old Testament. But we live in the New Testament. This is how Jesus came and fulfilled the law. So I'm bringing you something from the New Testament, John 8:58. Now this is when Christ was in his earthly ministry. He had came and he was born of the Virgin Mary and he was walking and having ministry here in this world. And he often, I'm telling you, you just got to read. You got to read it on your own. But I sometimes crack out loud. I just start laughing because if you ever notice in the New Testament when Jesus would often talk to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he was so calm, cool, and collected. We serve a calm, cool, collected God. I thank God that he is not like any of you all. He is not
That's
like
right.
me. Sometimes
Amen.
We can get so stirred up in a frantic and a panic when
That's
things
true.
Go wrong and we lose all functionality to think soberly. But I thank God that no matter what, even in the stress, even the most direst temptation, even in all of the agony and pain he went through, we can always see that he was calm, cool, and collected. He spoke,
right.
having every word
Hello.
Intentional and
Amen.
A strategic way of how he phrased his words. And this was a prime example in John 8:58 when he talks about how he caused quite a stir when he said to the religious leaders, and it says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." That was powerful. How when Jesus said unto them, depending on whatever version you have, let's say King James Version, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." In other words, before Abraham was in existence, because, you know, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they held on to what Abraham said. They hung on to what Jacob said and Isaac and all of that. They hung on to those were the pillars in the religion. But God was saying, or Jesus was saying even this, before they were even born, these people who you idolize and who you walk after, he said, "I was." Now, you got to understand the depth of that because, in a sense, people thought that he was basically a blasphemer. He was a blasphemous person that was kind of crazy because here you are instantly recognizing yourself equal with God. They didn't understand that Jesus was divine and he had a right to say what he said. So what the Jewish leaders failed to recognize and believe was that Jesus was God's son who came to save them. Galatians 4:4-5 says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." God had to send his son, and we know that. But if you didn't know, I gave you some proof right there in Scripture
Amen.
When I read Galatians 4:4-5. But the religious thinkers, they didn't understand what God was doing. They didn't recognize that he was actually the living son of Jesus. So you got to understand that the Bible confirms itself over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to read to you all the Scriptures, but you can write some of them down. John 14:9, when Philip asked him to show them the Father, what did Christ respond as? He said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." John 14:9. He's letting you know that I am who I am. I am the great I am as well. So you have power in Elohim. You have power in Adonai. You have power in Jehovah or Yahweh.
Amen.
People of God, you have power in Jesus as well.
Yes, God.
Even more so because we shed the blood of Jesus. It was his blood that definitely allowed us to come back or enter back into a state of dominion. We were redeemed because of his blood. I'm telling you this to lay a foundation, people of God. Because a lot of us, we get so excited and all, oh, God, you know, I need a miracle. Speak a miracle. I need a miracle right now. I need this. I need this right now. But we don't want to take the time. Mm-hmm. We don't want to take the time to really understand what the foundation is of how even calling his name could be the difference of your miracle or the lack thereof. We have to understand, people, God, that if we knew the many manifestations that we can call on God, it would mean a life or death situation for many of our circumstances. You won't have to be shuffling around Googling prophets. Some of you all do that. Writing Peter Popoff, trying to get a letter in the mail. You won't have to be searching for people on Facebook to release a word on you. Getting on everybody's prophetic prayer line and saying the same rehearsed that story to four different people in a week.
Right.
You won't be so thirsty and hungry for some man's word where you can go to God himself knowing that he's going to meet your need if you learn the many manifestations that he is.
Right.
Amen. You can even learn this by John 10 and 9. He talks about that. Read it for yourself. John 10, 14 through 15. I'll read this one. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own knows me, even as the Father knows me. And I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He's letting us know, if you know me, I know you. Some of us don't even know God, so how can God know you? Some of us only want the benefit that comes along with Christianity, but we don't want to be a full follower after Christ. We want the benefit, but we want to pass through the relationships and the rankings of earning our way into a wonderful, oh my gosh, glorious relationship with him. He's saying, you got to know me. I died for you. I died for my sheep. But if you don't even know my many manifestations, how can you call upon me? How can you call upon me? I am the shepherd, the good shepherd. The Bible talks about in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Some of you all are in darkness, and you don't even know it. You just feel like you're in a twilight zone. But, honey, let me tell you something. You're walking in darkness. Some of us, we got so much supernatural evilness around us in our home. Some of it we brought on ourselves. Some of it the Lord is allowing it to be a testing season. But if you're looking for light, don't you know that you can call on the light of the world? How will you know to call on specifically the light on the of the world if you don't know it because you didn't study it in the Word?
We know this word has truly empowered you for this week.
And if you want to activate this word and manifest this word into your life, visit our website and sow into it. The website is www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .com, not .org, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. That is www.kci.world. As always, we are speaking life over you, and we are excited about your
now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name.
This has been your weekly supernatural word of empowerment from
the Generals.